Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation, the restaurant guest experience podcast where I talk to industry experts to get their strategies and tactics you can use to create five-star guest experiences. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, a two-question guest feedback platform that gives multi-unit restaurants all the answers without annoying their guests with all the questions. Learn more at ovationup.com. And today, I am so excited. I have Sam Fowser on the pod with us today. Sam, welcome, man. How are you?
Oh, dude, I am so good. It is just a pleasure to be here. I am just excited, been looking forward to this since we first talked about it, I don't know, months ago. And I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's give your listeners some good stuff today.
So Sam and I met at a conference that we were both speaking at for Domino's, and I was just so impressed with him. We ended up having lunch together and connecting, and I was just, you know, this guy has seen a lot. He's done a lot. And so I'm excited to get a drop of his ocean of wisdom. He's got 30 years of training and leveling up teams experience at Domino's and even some projects with NASCAR. He's now the owner of Fowser Consulting, where he provides performance and coaching and leadership development. And he currently is doing that in London.
London, indeed, but not the London we'd hoped. London, Kentucky, right off of I-75.
And this is the first time I heard about London, Kentucky, was when he said, oh, I'm at a hotel doing some training for a client here in London. I was like, oh, he's like, Kentucky. Oh. Cool. Oh. That's cool though, Sam. So Sam, let's jump into the deep end. When you start with a client and you know, you obviously have worked with hundreds of teams, trained thousands, maybe even tens of thousands, probably tens of thousands, especially based on the one group that you spoke to when I was there. Tell me about something that you see that teams are doing that, or leaders are doing wrong with their teams. What is something that you could go in and say, here's a few things that you're probably doing wrong based on the experience I've had?
Well, I think the big thing in today's world, Zach, is that we've got to understand the people we're leading. For me, you know, I turned 59 years old last week, and most of the people that I'm talking to,
you look good, man.
Oh, I thank you. Are in that 18 to 25 year old range. If you remember when you were 18 to 25 years old, you thought a lot differently than you do now, and you see the world a lot differently than you do now. And I think the biggest opportunity for improvement that leaders have is to try to see the world the same way the people that they're leading do, and to understand that times are changing and today's workforce is changing. And one of the biggest pitfalls I see, and you know, you heard Tim McIntyre talk about this when we were at that meeting as well, is that everybody wants to immediately say that today's workforce is lazy, or today's workforce, they're not self-starters. And if you do any kind of any history at all, you see that people have been saying that for 2,000 years. That is not a new story. And today's workforce isn't any different than yesterday's workforce when the previous generation is talking about them. Is there a difference between today's workforce and yesterday's workforce and how they deliver customer service and the things that they do? Yeah, there is. But the choice that I keep telling my clients and the people that I am fortunate enough to work in front of is you can decide to try to change an entire generation of workers, or you can change the way you lead. One of those groups is much smaller than the other. And one of those groups you actually have a chance of changing. Yeah. So, you know, we're only in control of us. We can only control what we do, what we say, how we lead. And the choices we make are going to be the determining factors on how well people want to follow. There are some great kids out there that want to work hard, that want to do great things. I think they have less patience than my generation did. I think they want to be good now. I think they want to be rewarded when they do good things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with giving them that. And once we wrap our head around that, and we understand what motivates them and that they do want to be good, and that none of our team members are waking up in the morning, looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do to really mess things up today?
Yeah.
Once we get out of that mindset, I think we can start to lead. And you see it in all across the country. There are brands and there are individual units that are doing really, really well, and they never have staffing issues. And you know, without even seeing the person that's running that place, they get it. They understand. And I just, that's the biggest opportunity I see. You know, most of my clients are older. Most of my clients have been in the business for decades, and they fall into this trap of, when I was a manager, we did this. Well, dude, you're not a manager anymore. And times have changed, and we've got to understand what our team members want, and we have to see if we can provide that while still maintaining profitability. And we've got to create these mutually beneficial relationships with our team members. There has to be something in it for them, and there has to be something in it for us.
And I love that, because, you know, they talk about, I've heard the phrase that experience is a poor teacher because it makes you think you know what you're doing, right? And it's so true. That I had a friend one time who was having some issues with someone who, a family member, and they were having trouble understanding how that family member was showing love by giving gifts. And this individual wanted that family member to give them words of affirmation. And I remember telling him, I said, look, you can work to change how they give love, or you can accept the love they have to offer and translate that into the love that you want.
Absolutely.
And I think that stands true with what you're talking about, which is, they're not lazy. They're not soft. It's just different. And that's okay, right? Yes. It's okay that they're different. And, you know, Tim has been on the pod, and that quote, I love it. He puts up this quote, and it's like, children nowadays love luxury more than work, and, you know, they disrespect their teachers. And he's like, this is not from a decade ago. This is not from, you know, 2 years ago. This is Socrates from right. like 400 BC. And the problem is that as you get older, you change and your perspectives change. But to your point, I see thousands of people who are willing to work hard in these younger generations, but they just are doing so in a different way than yes. what you might expect.
Right.
And I love that, you know, let's change a generation, or let's change how we lead that generation. One's easier and one we have control over. That's brilliant, Sam. I love that.
I mean, I don't care how persuasive I am, and I can be pretty persuasive. I'm not going to persuade an entire generation.
No,
it's just not going to happen. So I've got to decide what it is I want. How am I going to make this relationship mutually beneficial? And how am I going to get my team to do the things I need them to do because they want to do that?
Yeah.
If they don't want to do it, you know, the days of command and control, I think, are over. It's a leadership style that worked well, and it had a time. And I think that time has passed. And I think even in the time of command and control, if people were more into understanding and knowing their team members, that we would have found out that that works much better. I want people to want to come to work because they want to be a part of something bigger, because they want to help us create great results, because they want to give great customer experiences, and they love to see the customer smile. I don't want them to have to come to work because if they don't do what I say, I'm going to fire them.
Yeah.
It's just not how I want to be. And yeah. I find that my clients that are the most successful have crystal clear expectations, what they expect from their team. They share those expectations. They hold their team members accountable to those expectations, and they reward them accordingly when the expectations are met. So I'm not saying be soft. I'm not saying let your team walk all over you. That's ridiculous. That's not going to give you the results you need. You know, businesses are in business to get a return on their investment. Nobody should ever be ashamed of that. You are a for-profit business. The more profit you can make, as long as the relationship is beneficial and mutually beneficial with the customers and the company, then more power to it. I mean, it's something that has to happen.
You know, a personal mentor of mine and someone who, I mean, oddly enough, has also been on the podcast, because you mentioned command and control. And Stephen Covey Jr., the MR, he wrote a book called Trust and Inspire.
Yes.
And he, and I love that book. I think every leader should read that, especially in light of this generation, because there's the command and control of yesteryear and there's a trust and inspire of today. How do we trust people and inspire them? Teach me why and show me how, as opposed to before, which is you do, don't ask. And when you have that shift, and again, it's not like you get work done, right? You're not talking about let's do less. You're talking about let's give reason for doing more, right?
Exactly.
And that's the thing that I feel like we often miss.
That book, Trust and Inspire, Drew and I do a little pod, Drew and Sam Talk Training, and that was one of the books we did on the pod. And, you know, anything that's got the Covey name on it, you know, it's going to be worth reading. And that was a good read. And that when you trust people to get things done, then they want to get them done.
Yes.
And it's so important. You know, I've got another friend of mine that wrote a book called Let Them Lead. His name's John U. Bacon. And
yes, I love that book. We heard John speak at the conference together.
I mean, that's
such a good book.
There are so many good lessons in that. What some might think is a book about high school hockey, and it really has nothing to do with high school hockey. You know, he says you got to water all the plants. You've got to treat all your team members with dignity and respect and see who responds to it. And I think that you'll be really surprised when you water all of them, which ones grow. And I think you'll be surprised at which ones don't grow sometimes. So it's just leadership is, it's the key to success. You could have the greatest idea in the world for the greatest widget ever in the history of the world. But if you can't lead and inspire people, that idea is never going to see the light of day or get off the ground or go where it should be.
Amen. Love that, Sam. And, you know, you had mentioned guest experience, and obviously not just the employee experience, but also the guest experiences has shifted over the last three decades.
It has. So
what do you think is the most important aspect of guest experience today?
You know, when I do customer service, and I would say that it is one of the things that I like most, because I think in today's world, especially in the restaurant world, I don't think your food is a differentiator anymore. I think your food is the cost of admission to the game.
Oh, interesting.
But I think the guest experience can become the differentiator. And in today's world, if you're good at it, you're better than most. If you're great at it, you've separated yourself from the pack exponentially. And, you know, the old adage is, you know, the customer is always right. And when I'm teaching customer service, I'll get up in front of the class and I'll say, hey, you've heard the customer is always right. And then I'll pause and I'll say, yeah, that's just not true. The customer is not always right. In fact, sometimes they are completely wrong. But that doesn't change that they came to our place of business and they expect a good experience. Mm. It makes it harder for us to deliver it when they're belligerent, when they're mean, when they're rude. But at the end of the day, when I'm counting the money to make the deposit, I haven't labeled those $20 bills with friendly customer, mean customer, belligerent customer. They're just $20 bills. And my job is the experience, my job to give them the customer experience to get that ovation that we're looking for is to make sure that they have a great experience. And I've gotten to the point, you know, I've been doing pizza for 40 years now. When I've got customers in it or in a bad mood, I start to play a game. What can I do to change their mood? What can I do to make them leave with a smile before this interaction is over? And if they are simply trying to pull the wool over my eyes or they're trying to get something for nothing, if I just give it to them sooner rather than later, then I get to shorten that experience that I have to have with them. and they leave, and some of them leave happy. And I think the thing that we get caught up on in today's world is everybody's trying to get something for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're wrong? What if you truly did make a mistake? What if they did have a bad experience? What if their coffee was wrong? What if their pizza was wrong? And you're just not on the right side of it, and you do the right thing because that's what you always do. Then you own them. then they are yours forever. And it's just very difficult, I think, with today's society where people think they are entitled to things that maybe they are not entitled to. And customers are getting more and more challenging, especially if they're dealing with somebody that they think is below them. You know, a lot of people think food service workers are below them.
Yeah.
I don't think that. I've been in food service for 40 years and life has turned out okay for me. You know, I pushed my children into food service because I think everybody should have to work in food service or retail for at least some part of their life so that they get that experience. And, you know, you see guys like Mike Rowe who talk about trade schools and you don't have to go to college to be successful. I think we've got to understand that. You know, there's lots of routes to success. College may be one. Trade school may be one. Food service may be one. Retail may be one. And people that are good at it, the sky's the limit. And if you can deliver a great customer experience, you know, I drive through McDonald's probably way more than my wife would be happy with. And I've had some of the best customer experiences at McDonald's. And I've had some of the worst customer experiences at McDonald's. And I'm here to tell you, it has nothing to do with McDonald's. It has everything to do with who is running that particular McDonald's.
Yeah. Will Gadara, he talks about that. And the key is whether you're fine dining, fast food, customer support, technology, whatever, the key, the secret ingredient is caring, right?
Yes.
Make it cool to care.
Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, it's so important. I mean, I see it in my clients all the time. I'll go into a particular restaurant and things are great. And I'll go into another restaurant and there's a lot of opportunity for improvement. And the brand didn't change. The sign on the front of the building didn't change. What changed was the person that was leading, the person that was choosing and developing the team. And that's where the customer experience can really excel.
Yeah.
Somebody comes into a restaurant and the team members are all excited to greet them and they realize that that's why we're there and that's what we do. That is a direct reflection of the leader.
And, you know, something that you'd said earlier about the guest experience is so true. And obviously, you know, I don't do this podcast to sell Ovation, but to get the word out there about guest experience. But one of the things that we do at Ovation is we will track every single customer piece of feedback based on the phone number. So that way we could see who are those consistent complainers. And this is what I tell people. The first time, be generous, right?
Yeah,
the absolutely. The second time, make it even. The third time, be skeptical, right?
Yeah.
And the whole concept is we want to make sure that we're, to your point, we're not getting worked over by people who are just like basically stealing from you legally. But
right.
You want to make sure that you make it more than right that first time. And if you could track it and you could track who's coming in and complaining a whole bunch, it's okay to fire a customer. But you just want to make sure that you don't fire the customer because you messed up.
Correct.
Or because they have a perception that something went wrong, right?
Correct.
And I think that's where, you know, you don't want to take hospitality out of hospitality, but you could utilize technology to enhance hospitality. And that's how we always look at things. Now, I know we're about at time here. And we didn't get to nearly like a quarter of the things I wanted to talk to you about because this is such a great conversation, Sam. But first of all, who's someone in the restaurant industry that we should be following? Who's someone that deserves an ovation?
Wow, that's a great question. As far as brands go, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say I think Domino's is knocking it out of the park because
amen.
I think that I've never, ever had a bad experience at an In-N-Out.
Oh, apparently you've never ordered their fries.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Is that too low? I love In-N-Out. It's okay to love their burgers, love their service, love their brand, and not love their fries. That's okay, right?
Yeah. No, it is. And, you know, when it comes to In-N-Out, it seems like people go gaga over it. And I think that the food is is good.
But freaking consistent, man.
Super consistent. I've never been in a dirty restaurant. I've never seen a dirty team member, and I've never seen a team member that wasn't happy. And their level of service is out of this world. And, yep. You know, obviously Chick-fil-A is known for great service, and I think they do a really good job. But individuals, man, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. You got me on that.
Well, we talked about Tim McIntyre. We talked about John Bacon. We talked about Stephen M. R. Covey. All great people to follow.
Absolutely.
They, you know, I don't know if Tim has a book, but John's book, Let Them Lead, Stephen Covey's book, Trust and Inspire, just incredible things. And check out their pods as well. So Sam, where can people go to learn more about you, get in touch with you if they're interested in bringing you on to do some consulting and leadership development for their team?
And so the easiest thing is to just reach out to me via email, and that would be sam@fauserconsulting.net. I do have a website, but I'll be transparent. My website is awful. it needs to be reworked. I need to get on that.
Cobbler's kids, man.
Yeah. I've been fortunate to be as busy as I can handle. So that's kind of on the back burner, but an email is always the best way to go. Specializing in leadership development, the customer experience, and anything at all to do with operations when it comes to a pizza restaurant. So yeah, that's how you can get a hold of me. And then my friend who runs Better Than Yesterday Consulting, Drew Helmholtz, he and I do a podcast called Drew and Sam Talk Training. I think we got 130 episodes out there. One just dropped yesterday. And we talk all about the customer experience. And we spend a lot of time talking about leadership. That's kind of our sweet spot for that pod.
Awesome.
And pod, well, that's what the kids are saying now, right? It's no longer a podcast. It's just a
We don't have time to say podcast. Oh, right? I'm so tired. It's a pod, man.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, for filling the minds of the few to fill the bellies of the masses, today's ovation goes to you. Thank you for joining us on Give an Ovation.
Hey, it was my pleasure, Zach. I appreciate being here.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite place to listen. We're all about feedback here. Again, this episode was sponsored by Ovation, a two-question SMS-based actionable guest feedback platform built for multi-unit restaurants. If you'd like to learn how we can help you measure and create a better guest experience, visit us at ovationup.com.